Blog Talk Radio.
People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart.
Hello, and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I'm your host, Lisa Zimmer, and today we have a wonderful show as our guests are coming in today. We have Imre Valian, who is an expert in the wisdom of the sciences, and he was born in Budapest, Hungary, immigrated to New Zealand as a refugee at the age of 16, and since 1980, he's dedicated his life to teaching the wisdom science through his extensive writings and through workshops, retreats conducted around the world. In 2008, he won the Ashton Wiley Charitable Trust Book Award, and he has written numerous books showing us how to expand our awareness, our consciousness, and to make connection with the divine. Also showing us in detail the science behind spirituality. Today we're going to talk to him about The Way of the Spiritual Warrior, his newest book, The Timeless Path to Enlightenment, which allows us to explore a different perspective. It allows us to look at our everyday occurrences and gain a greater perspective on looking at it from a more enlightened awareness, a more enlightened perspective, thus evolving us to become more enlightened. And today we're going to be speaking with his editor, William von Holst, and we're going to be talking about Imre Valian's wonderful, wonderful book, The Way of the Spiritual Warrior. And in our second half of our show, we're going to be taking that spiritual warrior knowledge, and we're going to be talking to a woman who has dedicated her life to the caretakers of Alzheimer's patients, truly spiritual warriors in the truest sense of the word. And so we're going to utilize both of these concepts today in speaking with both of my guests. But without further ado, let me introduce again Imre Valian's editor, William von Holst, as we discuss Imre Valian's newest book, The Way of the Spiritual Warrior. So William, welcome to Unlimited Realities. It's wonderful to have you here. Welcome, William. Thank you for coming to Unlimited Realities and speak to us about The Way of the Spiritual Warrior.
You're welcome.
Now, I'd like to start off with basically your talk about the spiritual warrior, and it's almost like a little bit of a dichotomy, because when we talk about spirituality, we don't think about warriors in a sense, but in essence, we all are. And so can you talk to us a little bit about what does this mean? What does the way of the spiritual warrior mean?
What this means is that you understand that there's many conflicts on the planet. There's this conflict between spirit and matter. So we live in matter. We live in the lower dimensions. And what's so unique about the human being is that they truly belong in multiple dimensions. And more and more dimensions than we can even possibly conceive of. So what it means to be a warrior, not someone running around and hitting other people on the head with sticks or whatever, what it means by a warrior is that you actually are an agent, or you're a focal point of light. So what that means is that there's light on the inner levels, this beautiful, intelligent, harmonious light. And that doesn't exist down here on the physical plane. So it takes a very strong individual, like the Christ was a warrior, Kuan Yin was a warrior. What they do is that they go inside themselves, they connect to that incredible light, and then they're able to pull down that light and manifest it here on the physical plane.
And In this teaching and in this knowing and understanding, Imre Valian practices this and has mastered this to a point of explaining it in great detail in his books, one of them being this book, The Way of the Spiritual Warrior. Tell us a little bit about Imre Valiant as a man and how he connected with his own light and recognized the essence within.
Well, if you saw Imre on the street, he appears very normal, and he does everything that we do. He has a wife, he has children, he has responsibilities, he pays his taxes, he travels. So he's, in many ways, if you were just to see him in everyday life, you would not really see anything different. But what's so beautiful about Imre is that he has had this unique talent and has had it since 3 years of age. He's turning 76 this year. 3 years of age, he was in Budapest in the middle of World War II and had these incredible experiences of going into the inner dimension. So for his whole life, it has been this continual exploration of these inner dimensions. And as you explore these inner dimensions, what happens is that you experience a dimension, and then you are aware, or you know that energy, you know that reality. And then what he's able to do is that he's able to bring it down and to help others reach inside themselves. And what's so powerful about his message is that he says that all of us, as I said in the first segment, we have that light within us. So
right.
the path of the spiritual warrior is not that you're actually seeking something that's outside of you. What you're really seeking is something that's buried within you. So all what he teaches is ways of removing some of these veils, removing the dross, removing the obstacles that each one of us has that's preventing us from experiencing our true self or the true light or what it is to be a true human being.
Okay. So in his essence, and as you said, if we were to see him on the street, he's a normal, average-looking individual. However, the essence about Imre is an evolved mastery of an enlightened state of awareness. And as we talk about enlightenment, I find over the years, unfortunately, the word and its potency has been watered down. And it feels to me that the essence of enlightenment is something that is a sacredness, or seeing the sacredness in a situation. And in reading Imre's book, it was very apparent to me that he lives his life in that perspective. He lives his life in that awareness. And so tell us a little bit how we can define enlightenment, and how is it achievable by ordinary people, or is it achievable by ordinary people?
And you're so right, that word has been so abused and so misunderstood, and I will do my best. What I understand of enlightenment is that what it really is that you are connected, anyone who really connects to their true being, their true inner self, they're in that process of enlightenment, or that process of having those veils removed. So enlightenment is not some static stage that someone just achieves. What it is that there's veils within veils, or there's mysteries within mysteries, or there's another way of saying it, that the human being is such a complex, wonderful, wonderful creation. And all these layers that are within us are, quote-unquote, stages of enlightenment, or stages of awareness, or stages of consciousness. So what this process is that, and every single normal person, there's always those moments where you're reaching, you're touching something deeper within. Those are moments of enlightenment. Those are moments of you discovering who you truly are. And as you do that, then the mystery is that those energies within, or those levels within, begin to work with you, meaning that these energies within are also very intelligent, and they are also wanting to connect. So what happens is that there's this friendship established, or a relationship, so that your personality, be able to communicate or have an understanding or a relationship with this being that's the true you within you, this being, some people call it the soul, the higher self, this being has incarnated thousands and thousands of times. It is something that has its own journey. And so part of the mystery is that soul or that true inner self that you are has to, for various reasons, incarnate into a physical body for to go through the stages of becoming more and more aware of something greater than itself. So that...
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. And, you know the way I'm looking at it, I have these visuals as you're describing it, and it's like having a blueprint that is your divine blueprint and then kind of igniting into that blueprint, and once you kind of like set that blueprint on fire, you can never turn back. It's kind of this awareness that you achieve and grow from. Would you say it would be like tapping into your higher self more?
Well, Christ said it in a beautiful way. He said, "In my Father's mansion, there's many rooms." So,
my favorite.
Well, what it is that there is this blueprint for what a human being is. And as Emery said, what we experience on this physical plane is 1% of that blueprint. It's just the beginning, the kind of the entrance into that magnificent mansion. So what all great teachers have said, what Christ has said, what Buddha said, all they constantly say, there's this incredible place, incredible mansion that you are. There are many, 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 many rooms. And the way that you enter this mansion is through entering the deeper parts within you, or silently diminishing some so that others may flourish. Saint Paul said, "May I diminish so thee may flourish," or "thee may live." Of course, it's very Christian, but what it means is may part of me become more quiet so that inner part of me can become more joyous or more prevalent.
Okay. That's beautiful. I find that an incredible analogy in regard to Emery's, what he's talking about, and incorporating that spirit, you know, Christianity or spirituality. It's that unity of essence. It's that oneness, that wholeness.
And that's what we do. What our lower minds does is that it divides everything up, or has a unconsciousness that is split, so that this is sacred and this is not. Or, you know, I'm paying my taxes,
right,
that's not sacred, and going to church or something is sacred, or helping someone is sacred. So what Emery also teaches is that you begin to have an awareness where you don't split in your consciousness, so that you're aware every single moment of the sacredness of that moment. You're aware of the incredible possibilities of every single moment, and you're not thinking of something you've done in the past, or you're not thinking of something that you want to do in the future, which, of course, we all do. But what you are able to do is that warrior is very conscious of the moment. And in that moment, there's incredible possibilities, an incredible consciousness is available to us in every single moment.
Okay. So this brings us back to why it's so important to be present, and so important to be aware of the essence that we're in, whether it's a struggle or whether it's joyous. The escapism isn't the place to go. It is the place to embrace whatever it is we're among and try to find that peace of perspective that takes us out of ourselves and puts us in the moment. Would you say that? Go ahead.
Absolutely. And what I want to do is add another. This is what's so beautiful about Emery, is that what he says is that spirituality is a science. And that differs than what most people say, because for most people, spirituality is kind of nebulous or faith-based, or
right,
so a lot of doctrines or things that that are very rigid. But he says there's a science to it, meaning that if you do such and such, you will achieve such and such. So
right.
I've been with him for 30 years. I know exactly what he's talking about. So what he's saying is that the reason we're not perceiving these inner dimensions within ourselves or our true selves is because the fact is that every single dimension or layers of dimensions or rooms in the house of your father's mansion, each of those rooms has a particular vibration, a particular energy. So the reason you're not experiencing all those rooms is because you're vibrating at a different frequency than those rooms actually are vibrating at. So the way to
okay.
begin to experience more rooms is you change your frequency. And what that means is that, and there's many ways that you can do that, and Emery works a lot with sound. He was a mantric yogi in previous incarnations in India. So he had trained many incarnations on the power of sound itself. So when
okay.
you understand how to work with sounds, and very particular sounds, and you know if you do this sound, it will have such and such impact or such and such result, and will take you to such and such frequency, then when you vibrate at that frequency, your perceptions automatically experience the frequencies that are equivalent to what you're manifesting. So you experience those other rooms, or you experience the deeper dimensions within in yourself, or you experience the sacredness at all times, or you experience the sacredness in everybody simultaneously.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, I love the fact that Emery brings in science with spirituality, because I am in total belief that one cannot exist without the other. And in so many aspects of how spirit works with us, he discusses in a part of his book the threefold training of the warrior. I believe it's in chapter 16. Can we talk a little bit about what the threefold training of the warrior is?
Absolutely. And what Emery is doing is that he's constantly focusing on the empowering the practical. And what I wanted to say before we get into the threefold training of the warrior, what we are moving on this Piscean age, and we're moving into the Aquarian age. The Piscean age was very devotional. It was very abstract. People on a spiritual path would go into monasteries or go out into the desert or isolate themselves and also deny their own feelings or their lives. They wouldn't, you know, priests still today do not have wives. So there's an enormous amount of denial. So what is happening
right.
now is that we're moving out of that Piscean age, that devotional age, we're moving into Aquarian age. Aquarian age is very much focused on science and very, very focused on communication. So what this is doing is that spirituality, we've had this tradition of 2,000 years of being hidden and secret. And
right.
what's happening now is that we're moving into that it's more public and open, and that it's also there's a knowledge coming through that there is a science to spirituality, that we are able to know clearly not the secrets and everything that was held in the last 2,000 years, but that these books are available. Yes, if I do such and such mantra in a particular way, it will open up my third eye, or open up my heart chakra, or it open up my crown chakra, or I will experience
right.
a particular kind of light that is the beginning of that process of becoming deeper within.
Right, right. And in talking about a lot of the training for the warrior exercise, he also discusses breathing exercises, and there's many different aspects that he brings into discussion as exercises and tools to evolve us. What would you say Would you say the threefold training is first and paramount, or is the breathing, you know, where we would begin in regard to this?
Well, in answer to your question about the threefold process of the training, the first stage of the training is that you harmonize your personality. And it gives us a beautiful example in the first few chapters that our personality is really like a vehicle, and it has four tires. It has a physical tire, an etheric physical tire, which is your vital body, an emotional tire, and a mental tire. So what he's saying is when those four tires are balanced, meaning that you're not overly emotional, you're not overly intellectualizing, or overly physical, but when all, and also the physical is that etheric, that vital body, an athlete has a very strong vital body. When those four tires are balanced, then that vehicle is able to drive on the road soundly, and that really the true driver of all of our vehicles is our soul itself. But a soul can't drive a vehicle if some of the tires are flat or some of the tires are overinflated, so the vehicle is driving very crookedly down the road. So the first part of that training of the war is to harmonize your personality. And the breathing techniques, he actually gives two breathing techniques in this book, is that when you're able to work with breath, you're able to move into your deeper breath. Meaning, of course, we have a physical breath, but that's only a small fragment of what is truly breathing. All our inner bodies, I mean, our etheric body has a breath, our emotional body has a breath, our mental body has a breath, our soul body has a breath. So when you're able to move deeper within the breath, you're able to move from one dimension to another dimension to another dimension. You're able to move from one room to the next room to the next room in your Father's mansion, which is vast.
Wonderful. Okay. That explains it. That explains a lot of the deep breathing. Now, when we're looking at a lot of our wonderful truths, our spiritual truths, and Imre has discussed so many, what are the greatest ones that speak to you as far as in this book specifically, what would you say are the most important spiritual truths to gain from this, work?
What I experience is that what's the most powerful is that you can be fully present in the world. You can not deny what's happening in the world or escape from the world. You can be involved in what's happening in the political scenes or the disasters around the world or whatever communities that you are involved in or helping people who are struggling with diseases of all sorts. What it means is that no matter what you're doing, that you can also be conscious simultaneously of the sacredness. Or your soul itself can be fully present in the activities of the personality. What Emery refers to is that you become a soul-infused personality, not a personality who escapes the world and goes into the soul realm, which is a past of the East. The East denied the beauty of the physical plane. They thought it was Maya. They thought it was an illusion. They thought it was evil. Or not good. Okay. So they escaped it and they went into their soul level. That's an older path. What Emery is teaching, and this is what a warrior is all about, is that you have a soul and it's absolutely magnificent and beautiful, but that soul, you can experience your soul at the soul level, which is wonderful, but the real task of the warrior, or to be a true spiritual warrior, is that you bring your soul down to your personality so you radiate as a human being on this planet in everyday activities. You are radiating an incredibly beautiful, harmonic, intelligent, loving soul.
Wonderful, wonderful. And it's a mindfulness. It's being aware of that essence within and bringing it in so you can expand it without. It's a mindfulness. And I love how he is bringing this in such explicit terms and ways in teaching, because the book is fabulous in regard to it doesn't just leave you with a system of belief. It leaves you with a belief system and a way to co-create with the system through exercises and tools. It's the book in itself is a workshop. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. Again, the book is The Way of the Spiritual Warrior. And William, this has been such an enlightening interview. I have really, really enjoyed this. I loved reading Imre's book. I love all of his work. And I look forward to doing another interview whenever you want to come across or you know, go over another book. This has just been really, really wonderful. Is there a way that our listeners can get in touch with Imre to go on his workshops or find him when he travels and conducts his work? How could we get the listeners to connect with Imre online?
There's two websites. There's the publishing website, which is soundinglight.com. The sound and the light for Imre are inseparable, so the publishing company is soundinglight.com. And there's also a website on the organization. It's called the Foundation for Higher Learning. And the website is thehfrankhl.org. So it's thefhl.org. And that talks about Imre and classes all over the world and people to contact and just general information about what the school and what we're doing and where we're doing it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, this has just been so incredible. I absolutely loved it. And thank you so much for joining me today. And give Imre my blessings and my biggest respect for all the work and love and light that he sheds on this planet. God bless him. And
thank
God
you
bless
so much.
You. You're welcome. Well, audience, I loved that show. That was a wonderful, wonderful show in regard to Imre Valiant. And we are going to bring that spiritual warrior essence, and we are going to bring it into the second half of my show, which is going to be with another dynamic personality, but very, very different. This dynamic personality is a woman who I have known personally for over 30 years. She is not only a dear friend, but a sister. And I am so grateful that God has allowed people like this into my life, that I have friends like this in my life, that I have friends who see something that God has put before them and has not only embraced it, but has made it better. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to give you a little bit of a synopsis here. The woman I'm bringing on for the second half of the show, her name is Catherine Finnegan. And Catherine has been in support and caretaking of her husband, who has Alzheimer's, advanced Alzheimer's at this point. And for the last 4 years, Catherine has lived, loved, educated herself, and dove headfirst into understanding how to make her husband's life better. Not only how to make her husband's life better, but to keep herself sane. And in keeping herself sane, how to help caretakers. Because caretakers of Alzheimer's specifically, have a 63% higher mortality rate than non-caregivers. In fact, 40% of Alzheimer's caregivers die from stress-related disorders before the patient dies. This has been Catherine Finnegan's mission, one of Catherine Finnegan's mission. If you met this woman, you would know she does what she needs to do, and it gets done like nobody else could do. So I'm going to introduce my dear soul sister friend. And when you hear her and hear what she's created, you will be as impressed and in love with her as I am. So without further ado, may I introduce Catherine Finnegan, a new founding, wonderful, innovative, insightful genius with creating a healing environment for Alzheimer's caregivers. Catherine Finnegan, welcome to Unlimited Realities. It is such a pleasure having you here today, and I am just so thrilled to talk about your mission and your passion and what you've done in creating an incredible awareness for Alzheimer's support. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. That was a wonderful introduction, and my, I have been busy.
You are a busy, busy lady, and you know, I went on your website. First of all, let me start off the interview with all our listeners to guide them to your website, because it's an incredible website. It's Naturally You Healing, exactly as it's spelt. Nothing has changed. NaturallyYouHealing.com. NaturallyYouHealing.com. We're going to talk about, Catherine, first off, did you ever see this coming? I mean, this is one of those life decisions that nobody sees coming, but when they are thrust into it, it becomes such an overwhelm that they really do not know where to turn. And so people like you, my dear light, have created an Alzheimer's information forum and for caregivers, and you've created the Alzheimer's A's. Is this right? Can you talk to us a little bit about what the Alzheimer's A's are?
Yeah. No, I did not see this coming in 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 years. Seriously. My husband has a heart disease condition, not that bad, but still, I always thought that that would be his exit point through heart disease. But when this came up, I seriously was traumatized. So after I got out of the shock and trauma, then I had to start finding ways to make it better, like making lemonade out of lemons, as we all do. So I was doing an interview for PBS. It's coming up in Richmond, Virginia in November. And so as thinking about what I was going to say, I came up with a condensed version of what every caregiver that is going to be faced with this disease to start on that path, and I mean immediately. You do not want to waste time, because you are going to need all the resources, all the energy, all the friends, all the support you can get. And what happens, Lisa, there's so many people, if I go to these support groups, and they postpone going in to a support group if they have one nearby, and there's always one online, and because they're ashamed or they're afraid, but I really want to encourage them to start right away, because you really need to do that. It would be helpful.
Good, yes. Now, you start off with Alzheimer's A's, and I want to go down the list of them and just talk a little bit briefly about each one. The first one you say, alone. Do not take this journey alone. Seek a support group. And like we were just saying, is necessary. Don't think that you can do this alone. This is something that you really need to figure out who's on your team, which brings us to number two, your A team.
Yes, it's very,
very
important.
Gather your A team, close family members and loving friends. Talk to us about who maybe you don't want on your A team, because sometimes we may think, this would be somebody who's supportive, but in fact you find that they're inconsistent, or maybe they're a little negative, or maybe they're a little, you know, not the right personality. So how would you go about finding the right people for your A team? Just give us a few, like, personality traits of what you would not want as your A team.
Lisa? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I'm so sorry. We're having storm problems here on the show today, and I apologize for any brief lapse of voices here. I'm going to try and connect here right now with Catherine. Catherine, can you hear me?
Yes, you're back on now.
Yay, wonderful. Okay, so I apologize, audience. We are having storm difficulties here. We're, in fact, looking at Hurricane Matthew possibly hitting our Florida coast here. So next week. So we're experiencing some fun. Anyway, getting back to Alzheimer's A's, we were talking about the A-team, and we were talking about some people may not actually be good, close members to have on your A-team. Catherine, can you give us some ideas of personality traits that would be really detrimental to an Alzheimer's patient, like someone you would not want on your close A-team?
Probably someone that's bipolar, depressed, just living through a lot of fear. And what happens with families, and this is pretty common throughout the whole thread, is that the families, because it's someone close to them, are very scared of this disease happening to them. So it's difficult, more difficult for family members to face this than, let's say, friends. So I always say mix it up, because some family members can handle it better. The major problem, I think, is that a lot of families and children live far distances away from their, let's say if it's their parents. So it's hard for them to try to do things. So sometimes they just fade out. But what I said in there, that the people living long distance, they can help with researching information for their parents. They can help pay the bills, not with their own money, but doing some of the accounting and looking for local agencies that could help in the area that their parents or whoever that person is. When it's a husband and wife, it's a little different. It's actually very different because it affects every single day of your life, and so you just have to make the best of it. My A-team are close family members, and I just thank God for all my lovely friends that I've had for 30 and 40 years, and if those people are still standing by your side, they are not going to leave you during this. So if you have a longtime friend, they are usually the ones that will step up to the plate. And then there's the close friends around you that will just disappear, and that's very common and heartbreaking, because a couple who are facing this, they lose some of their really close friends because they can't watch somebody slowly lose their mind. Is that how they look at it?
It's unfortunate, but it's one of those circumstances where, you know, in talking about Alzheimer's, it's more feared in many ways than cancer. People are more afraid of getting Alzheimer's than it is cancer. And honestly, it's not the person who has the Alzheimer's that needs to worry about it. It's the people who are around the Alzheimer's patient who needs to worry about it, because the person with Alzheimer's isn't going to know what he's going through. It's the people who are taking care of him that suffer. So it's interesting to me how the misnomer of, oh, God, I hope I don't have Alzheimer's. Well, hope you don't have Alzheimer's for your loved ones. Take care of your health. And let's add this in first before, you know, we forget this. One common denominators of Alzheimer's development in the brain is abuse of alcohol. Is that not correct, Catherine?
I have been told that off and on, and that is a possibility, especially it's more the hard liquor if they have a long experience. I'd have a whole group of caregivers who were married to men that had really serious long drinking problems. And it doesn't have to be an alcoholic type base. It's just through their business relations and their social life, it just was just the way it was. And the one doctor
right.
had explained that it probably would have been, the disease probably could have been delayed by 10 years if there was not a heavy alcohol abuse. And so that's something to think about, because that puts these people in, rather than their 70s into their 80s or 90s when they would get the disease. But anyway, it's
right.
still up in the air.
Right.
My solution has been for my husband, once he's been was diagnosed, is that I slowly weaned him off of even the wine. It's like two glasses a night, maybe too much. And the brain from dementia or Alzheimer's is weakening in some ways. So I use non-alcoholic wine and non-alcoholic beer, and most restaurants serve non-alcoholic beer. And if I want to take wine, I've always taken my non-alcoholic wine to the restaurant. My husband is happy with both of those, so it has worked out really great.
Oh, that's wonderful. And it is a lifestyle change. I mean, every aspect of your life is looked at differently, because you're not just looking at it for your own you know, what's going to make him not become more reactive or to respond negatively, but also to make your life more simplified. Because by eliminating these triggers, by eliminating these things that actually could increase bad reactions, you, the caregiver, are eliminating potential problems. And so you're allowing your life to go on in a way that is most harmonious as possible. And the aspect about Alzheimer's, as we move down the list of your A's, which such a fabulous website this is, we move down from addressing feelings and taking care of yourself physically and being active, and then looking at amplify as number five. You say, do not hesitate to amplify the magnitude of what you're dealing with. Unless someone has walked in your shoes for this marathon, they will not be able to relate to the toll it takes on you, the caregiver. Criticism comes easy from the outsider looking in. Educate family and friends. Show, then tell. Use your phone or a video camera to take a short video of some of the challenging behaviors you are facing with your loved one. Then tell your family and your A team about it. Seeing is believing. Now, this is very, very powerful and incredibly valid advice and information, because people don't realize until they're there really what they're in for. And nobody really talks about Alzheimer's, because it's something that leaves everyone a little bit shell-shocked. And one aspect that I thought was very, very helpful was seeing a video of an Alzheimer's patient while they were not in their best, and what effects it has on the caregivers. So this is something that's very, very important, and if you need to have this done, make sure that you do this. I found this incredibly. Would you say that Catherine, that taking a video and maybe showing it to your A team of what you deal with is a very, very effective way of getting them on the same page with you, if perhaps they're thinking you may be exaggerating how bad the patient is, or that maybe you're, you know, things aren't as bad as you think they are, things like that?
Most definitely, Lisa, and I actually did that. That's why I addressed that.
I know.
Many people
I remember that video. It was powerful, and I didn't want to. I was going to let you say that you did that. I didn't want to, but it was incredibly
informative.
Oh my gosh!
But the reason I did it was that we were going up north for we spent our summers in New Hampshire, and it was going to be the last summer there with the family. It's three daughters, and no one had seen any of that aggressive behavior, and they don't even know that it's there. They think that Alzheimer's is just losing your memory. Well, no, you lose who you are, and you become another person that can be very aggressive, dangerous. My girlfriend's husband tried to kill her three times. So
oh, wow.
I like to just be really powerful in how I communicate things, because seeing is believing. And so I did the video, and it was just like the perfect timing. My son had said, Mom, you need to take a video. So when the night came and it was just, he was really all over the place, I had my phone in my hand. So I held it up. He had no idea I was taking this video. And he didn't know who I was and what am I doing in his office. It was my office. And it just progressed into a little more anxiety and aggression. And then the next day, the next morning, I videoed him coming in, being the normal person that he always is, sweet and just loving, and standing there. And the difference between the two scenes was so extreme that it really did leave a very powerful message.
Oh, that's incredible. It did, because I see the changes in the personality just in the few times that I've witnessed it through you.
I know. And you never know when it's going to come. So it's like shock and awe when you least expect it. And you think you've seen it all and then something else. It's sort of like a roller coaster, the up and downs, because things go well for a while and you think, oh, my gosh, this is pretty good. Then all of a sudden the wave comes in, and it's one thing can just outshock the other thing. That's all I can say.
Oh yeah, it's one of those unexpected. You really don't know what one day to the next is, and this is something that may be a touchy subject to bring up, but it is real, and many caregivers have to resort to this in getting a stun gun. And can we talk a little bit about a stun gun? Because you're dealing with someone who has lost sense of themselves, and if they become aggressive, you need something to protect yourself. Because, go ahead, Catherine, talk a little bit about stun gun protection.
Oh, yes. I thought about that, and I was also very aware of other close friends around me that had been through this, and they were in a further advanced stage, and I saw how intense that threat can be. And I thought, well, I'm not going to sit here and wait till we get to that stage. So I was able to buy a stun gun, and you can buy them online. It doesn't have to be a really powerful one, just enough if you would need to protect yourself. I would sleep with it for a while under my pillow, because at nighttime sometimes they would get a little out of control or be disoriented. But I carried it in my purse, and did I ever feel like I was going to use it? No, but did I feel safer? This is about taking care of you and your feelings, because fear is not where you want to be living when you are in this position as a caregiver. So whatever it took to make me feel better. Now, my husband's 6'3" and 200 pounds.
Right.
Their strength is so powerful that you wouldn't even have a chance. My dear friend had her little old mother in a assisted living, and they finally put her in. I think she was close to 90. And she body slammed the nurse and broke her tailbone.
Never before
has she ever laid a finger on anyone, and she was able to come up with that much strength. So I'm going to take action that I feel is important. And so I shared this with the group. They were all impressed that that was a possibility if you felt like you need it. And if you call 911, you still have 5 to 7 minutes to wait. So this is just a temporary solution.
And it's a situation where you don't know, and it's better to be safe than unprepared. And there's a lot of guilt, I think, a lot of caregivers naturally step into, because it's almost as if that's why I think you're just fabulous, Catherine. One, that you have taken the necessary steps you needed to do to give him the best care possible and also make sure your safety's intact, but also to inform and talk about and bring the elephant out of the room in regard to these issues, because so many people, when you talk about being a caretaker for an Alzheimer's patient and the subject of their irrational mood swings come up, or their anger or their rage, and the fear that these caregivers actually have. When you talk about getting a stun gun, you have very mixed emotions and reactions. And it takes a little bit of the guilt out of the caregiver's emotional reaction first, in thinking, oh, I could never do that. Well, yes, you could do that, because it's a matter of life or death sometimes.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So, you know, so you're looking at it from a completely different perspective, okay? None of us want to hurt our loved ones. However, none of us want to be the victim of our loved ones, you know, actions, because they're ill. So, okay, so we're moving down from the anger iceberg. We're moving down to attitude is the way, your attitude. Attitude is the way you can take control of how you are feeling and help change your perceptions and expectations on this journey. How you look at something can change how you feel about it, and that is something that's under your control. It also can help you have a realistic expectation of yourself and others, so you can relieve yourself of additional struggles. Change your attitude through gratitude. Start your day by focusing within your heart on who or what you want to have in your life for which you are grateful. This can help you start your day in a positive state. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Winston Churchill said that. And we move on. Now, this is a really big one. I see this as a really big one, because grief starts in diagnosis. And you have number 8 as accept grief and loss. And I would imagine that once diagnosis is determined with an Alzheimer's patient, the grief process for the loved ones begins. And here you're talking about accepting and acknowledging your experience with grief and loss. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Oh, definitely, Lisa. That's a big one. And I'm so thankful that I had the support group that brings this out for us. There's meetings on grief all the time. And it's not just one time you're experiencing grief. It's a constant over and over and over, because each day, each week, each month, you're losing another part of that relationship, another part of your lifestyle, a part of your hopes and your dreams and your financial security. It brings fear. So you're constantly grieving off and on. And I'm not kidding you. If you have ever grieved in your life, you know that you have this empty, separated feeling, it's not a good place to be. And I've been there a lot, and my goal has always been to get out as soon as possible, because we do have the tools and the ability to get out of that state. And acceptance is the most powerful thing, and it worked so wonderful for me, because once I could reach that acceptance that this is the way it is, then I was uplifted to continue the journey. If you stay in that grief mode, you're just going to be going downhill instead of uphill. So I thought that I was like, okay, I got this acceptance. Well, then I had to do it over and over and over again. So it was just a nonstop drill. We're talking boot camp for the soul, for sure. So anyway,
right.
We just have to work with it. And now then you come to a point where you reach such a high feeling of acceptance that you become to enjoy the person more. We are more in love than ever. We have more joy and fun on a lot of different ways, because he's a different person, and playful and joyful. And so you get to the point where you accept this is the new person, and then you enjoy it. So that's what I've done.
That's you're just an inspiration on this, truly, Kaz. Catherine, you truly are. Now, number 9, we talk about alternative therapies. Seek alternative healing therapies. Numerous healing modalities are available to help balance your energy field. Think of this as pushing the reset button on stress. We have massage, acupuncture, aromatherapy, cranial sacral massage, esoteric healing, biofeedback, Reiki, theta healing, sound and light therapy, and more. Research what modality is most appropriate for you. See your doctor on a regular basis and stay current with all preventative care. Manage your stress so that it does not manage you. And number 10, we talk about ample time. Give yourself ample time away from caregiving duties. So in other words, caregivers, don't take this on alone. Make sure that you have your team. Take time away and don't feel guilty. And this will help you complete this marathon. That's what Kaz is saying, Catherine is saying in her Naturally You Healing. I'm reading this from her website. So if you're wondering where I'm getting this information, you need to go to this website. It's, again, naturallyyouhealing.com. There's many different subtitles, and on the middle one is Alzheimer's information, and on the end one is caring for caregivers. And it's such informative information. And this is one of those things where, Catherine, would you say that you have grown in ways that you never, ever thought?
Never, ever thought. This is the biggest button pusher for growth, for spiritual growth, that you can probably deal with. I'm not going to say worse than everything else in the world. There's so many other things. But I like to kind of say that Alzheimer's caregiving is not happening to you, it is happening for you. Every challenge brings us to a point where we have a choice to grow and learn and serve, because there are always underlying spiritual teachings to everything that we are faced with. So this is a big part of it, and the sooner we can accept it, the better off we will do as a caregiver.
Oh, wonderful. And then just finishing up your list of A's, you have number 11 as adventure. Take time for adventure and travel. Address your bucket list as soon as possible if that's an important part of your loved one's life. Engage in your most distant trips first. Guided tours are helpful with a group that looks out for you. And invite a family member along for emotional support. Doctors warn that traveling eventually becomes uncomfortable for your loved one suffering from this disease, as new surroundings create agitation and confusion as the disease progresses. So enjoy life to the fullest with your loved one you care for as long as possible. And the last item on the A list is ask for help. Daily prayer and meditation can give you hope for spiritual support, increase your relationship with the source of love that most inspires you. Truly, you're not alone. Daily meditation is a powerful tool to help manage stress and find your inner compass point. There's a free guided 10-minute meditations online, and Oprah offers a free 21-day meditation program. Check out her website at www.oprah.com. Centering Prayer Meditation is a Christian-based meditation offered in a church environment. Centeringprayer.com. For scientific-based and highly researched meditation, visit tm.org and listen to the free one-hour introductory lecture there. Meditation helps quiet the mind and calm the emotions to allow you to find the inner peace. Meditation opens the door to life, supporting energies. Who doesn't want more energy? So God bless all of you. God bless all of you who are angels in disguise on this earth, helping those of us on the planet who can't help ourselves. And God bless you, Catherine Finnegan, for all you do in creating a support system for caregivers for Alzheimer's. This is such a powerful, incredible spiritual calling for you, but also for everybody else who could benefit from your insight, wisdom, and knowledge. And God bless you for feeling this call and jumping in and doing it. Thank you again, Catherine Finnegan, for being on Unlimited Realities. And let me let you talk to our audience to guide them to your website and tell them more about how to get a hold of you. Go ahead, Catherine.
Yes. Please go to naturallyyouhealing.com and learn more about Alzheimer's and caring for caregivers, as well as any of the alternative modalities that you would need help with. We can help you with that. I know a lot of different people in different areas of the country that could be of help to you. And my final thing is, caregivers, please use all the straight A's. Don't be late. Navigate this Alzheimer's maze. Not just surviving, you got to be thriving beyond this insanity. Reach out to humanity. This is the slow goodbye. It's okay to cry. This disease is a mystery. Let's erase it. from history.
Wonderful, wonderful. God bless you. Thank you so much, Catherine, for being a part of our show today on Unlimited Realities. And thank you, audience, for tuning in today to talk about the spiritual warrior that we all are on this planet. God bless all of you and all your spiritual warrior essences. Till next week, God bless.
Thank you, Lisa.